We come to the time of our Lord's Supper. The choir sing a beautiful song about remember me. Jesus tells us to remember as we take of the cup and of the bread. How easy it is for us to forget when it comes to the blessings that God has blessed us with. And I don't want us to sit here and just say, well, this is the Lord's Supper, let's take it. And no, we need to do it with reverence and fear of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think about the blood that was shed for us. And I come across this scripture in Romans chapter 5. It says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That ungodly is you and I. For the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I think about the divine hatred of sin. God doesn't like sin. He hates sin. But yet he loves the ungodly. He loves us. For when we were without strength, we could do nothing on our own. We were lost. We were ungodly. We were enemies of God. He still loved us enough to send his son, Jesus Christ. You see, sin is real. It's not something that we ought to take lightly. It has a dismal, dark reality in our world. If man had not been a sinner, it would have not been necessary for Christ to die. But he died for you and I today that we might have life. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I want you to know that God loves you. He loved you enough that he died on the cross for you. He paid the price of sin. If sin were not something dark and destructive in our world, Calvary would not have been necessary. But Calvary may be beautiful to us looking back because Christ died for us, but yet that day it was so ugly because God died, his son died upon the cross for you and I. And that's the reality of sin that we see. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and God demonstrated his love towards us. In that while, the Bible says we were yet sinners. Yet sinners. Christ died for us. You know, we need to, as we take the elements of the Lord's Supper, we need to realize that it speaks to our heart this morning concerning the deadly, destructive, evil nature in our life that required Christ to die on the cross for our forgiveness. You see, God looks at sin as something ugly, damaging, destroying our life. His divine punishment for sin was his son, Jesus Christ. There has to be a sacrifice for sin. In the Old Testament, I love the story when God told Adam and Eve, they were in the Garden of Eden. He said, you can have of any tree in the garden, folks. Any tree that you want to eat of except one. You can't eat of that one. And the old devil, as real as he is, some people don't believe in him, but I believe in him. He's there. He's always knocking on our door, trying to get us to do something wrong or deny Christ or just live in an ugly way, sinful way. That's exactly what happened. He knocked on their door and he said, you know, God doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. That's the reason he told you not to eat of that tree of good and evil, our good knowledge. But you know what? The devil didn't make them eat that fruit. They chose to disobey God. So we can't blame it all on the devil. We have a choice. You have a choice. This morning, you have a choice to live for God or to continue in sin and live for the devil. And folks, God doesn't want you to live for the devil, because that way is death. That's what the Bible says. That way's death. But the gift of God, he says, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he wants you to choose life. He wants you to, by faith, just trust him. He says, Christ died on the cross while we were yet sinners. Man died that day in the garden, not a physical death, you know, right then, but he started to die that day. Just think, if Adam and Eve had not have eaten that tree, they would have lived forever. No sickness, nothing. Fellowship with God, they had perfect fellowship. They chose to disobey God, and we do the same thing. And therefore, it brings physical death, but more, it brings a separation, a spiritual death between God and man. And the Bible says, sin darkens our intellect. You look at the world today, you look at society today, the way of thinking is darkened. How can we think rightly with sin in our life? That's what the Bible says. Our intellect is darkened. We've got sin in our life. We think wrongly. We don't think right things anymore. We think wrong things. Not only that, our emotions have been deadened. We don't feel the way we ought to feel. We need to love people, but sin makes us hate each other. Sin makes what destructive wars, and sin deadens our emotions towards the feelings of others, where life has been cheap now, and we see killings on every hand and destruction on every hand. And then on that, it degrades the will of man. You know, sin destroys everything it touches. And that's what God wants us to remember today, that his son died that we might have life, and to remember sin destroys. The Bible says the old devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Romans says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. All have sinned. So that covers every one of us here today. Some of you are maybe sinners and lost, but some of you are sinners and you've been saved by the grace of God, and you know his forgiveness. Aren't you thankful for his forgiveness? But look at his divine payment. He says, God had to pay a price. Without, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would call upon him shall be saved and have eternal life. You know, the divine punishment was his own Son. He knew that we couldn't do it. He knew that we couldn't live a perfect life. He knew that we were going to sin. We just, have you ever tried to do right all week? Man, I tell you what. I try to live right, but somewhere down the line, you know, during the week, we all mess up, don't we? And the more you just have to turn it over to God and say, God, it's not, you know, I love that passage of Scripture where it says, I am crucified with Christ. I have to remember that. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. This week, I hate to go to Walmart because that's where most of my sin would occur. I want to tell you, if there's anything that makes you sin, it's going to Walmart. I drove up there to get gas this week, and praise the Lord, I didn't lose my cool. There's a little man and woman in front of me, and they got their gas and got back in the car, and there's a long line, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, well, go on. Go on. Grandma's slow, but she's 89. And I'm sitting there watching him, and he's fiddling with this thing on his windshield, GPS system, you know, and he's trying to stick that suction cup there, and it just keeps falling off, and he's done that about 3 or 4 times, and I'm watching him, and I'm saying, sir, the devil's saying, honk your horn. Get out of your car and go up there and ask him, have you got a heart attack, fella? But he's trying to put that on there. And finally, he drops and it falls to the floor, you know. And then he's got to get down in there and try to find it, you know. He sees me in his mirror, finally. Boy, he gets that thing cranked and he drives off, and I drive up and I said, you know, that fellow was slow, but you're in no hurry. I had nothing else to do. So, and you know, he comes back and drives up behind me and gets out and says, sir, he said, I want to apologize to you. I'm saying, Lord, I thank you I didn't honk that horn. I didn't honk the horn. Praise God. First time anybody's ever apologized for doing that at Walmart, and I thought, man, glory to God, you must be a Christian. But you know, the devil tempts us to do all kinds of ungodly things, and you say, well, that wasn't really ungodly. Yes, it was. I'd lost my temper there, and I'd got mad that old fella. You know, I started out of there, and I said, one day you're going to be old, and you're going to be the same way. But you know what? We try to be good, but we just can't. So we have to rely on God. There had to be a payment, a divine payment. God does not ignore sin. We sometimes think, well, that wouldn't have been a bad sin, just to honk your horn. But yes, it would have, coming from a Christian, coming from one of his ministers. You know, we do things that are just displeasing sometimes. And I'm not always that good. I thank the Lord I didn't do nothing wrong that day. I didn't honk that horn. I overcame that little temptation. But you know, God sees everything we do in our thoughts. And I did have to confess those thoughts. I started to, Lord. But you know, Jesus Christ, he lived the perfect life. He was that perfect sacrifice. And God knew that his son was going to have to die on that cross for us. And that's exactly what he did. For while we were enemies, the Bible says, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. So when we look at the blood or the cup and think about the blood that was shed on the cross, he did that for me. He did it for you, that you might live eternally. God commended his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, he gave his son for us. And I think of that old song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And he did that on Calvary's cross. All the way, it wasn't pleasant at all. But it was a beautiful picture for you and I. To think about Christ when he died on the cross, if it hadn't have been for him, we couldn't have eternal life. And the Bible says all we have to do is, for it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. If we will admit this morning, Lord, I am a sinner. I realize that I'm a sinner. And I realize that you died for me on the cross. If you will ask him to, he will come into your life and give you eternal life. It won't cost you a thing. It cost Christ his son. He cost him his life. But it didn't cost you a thing. He said it's free. It's a free gift. I give it to all who will come, not just some. So when I see the cup this morning, I'm reminded of the blood of Christ who died for my sins. And I think of that verse of Scripture, greater love hath no man than this, that one lay down his life for a friend. He gave it all for me. Shouldn't we live for him every day? Shouldn't we praise his name every day when we get up in the morning? Praise his name. That's what I'm going to think about when I take the cup. I'm going to think about Christ. While I was a sinner, he died for me that I might have life. And then when the bread's passed by, I'm reminded of the body that was nailed to the old rugged cross. Folks, oh, how he loves you and me. I love that song, that I might have life through Christ. And when I come to this table, I don't do it lightly. I want to do it, the Bible says, with a clean heart. So, as you think in your life about this week, about last week, about your life, if there's something in your life that is still separating you from God, some lie you've told, some deed you've done, some thought you've been thinking, ask God to forgive you that before you take the Lord's Supper. For the Bible says you shouldn't do it with a dirty heart. You shouldn't do it with sin in your life. It's a reason he says some of you are sick and some of you are sick unto death. Because we take lightly what God has given us. Don't take it lightly. Confess it. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And you know, I've been doing that all week long. I've been down at the farm. I took off this week. And I've been down there, and somebody said this in our quiet time. Well, it's quiet down there, let me tell you. It's very quiet. And I sat out on the front porch, and I thought about my ministry. I thought about what God has done in my life. And I thought about where he's going to lead me and the things I need to be doing. You see, you just have to draw aside sometimes and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Give me that direction that you want me to go in. And I think about Christ, and I think about not only the body and the blood, I think this morning of the precious promises of God. Folks, God has given us promises all through the Bible. His promise to the saints, and one of them that I love is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Just think of the blessings God has blessed you with. And I sat down there and I counted my blessings. I said, Lord, man, you have really blessed me over the years. And when I thought about the blessings of God, I just prayed, Lord, thank you for the blessings. So, you know, sometimes we forget to thank him for the blessing. I thought, thank him for my family. I thank him for my wife. I thank him for my children. I thank him for my family. I thank him for the church and you, every one of you. All of you. All of you are those little blessings that Christ has blessed me with. And I just said, thank you, Lord. And I said, Lord, as we prepare for Sunday, as I sit here and prepare for the Lord's Supper, I just thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, who looked down one day and saw me, a sinner, and touched my heart. He didn't have to do that. He wanted to do that and gave me that choice to choose him, and I chose him. And he's my heavenly Father. He's always with me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's no place that I can go to get away from God. He's always there. And I thought about that when I was sitting there. He's right there sitting beside me, talking to me like a friend. When I get on the road, he's there sitting beside me like a friend. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. In the times of distress, he's always there. In the time of trouble, he's always there. In the good times, he's always there. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Galatians says he's living in us, through us. And when we get to the end of this journey, I don't know where it's going to end. Every day is a new journey. Every moment, you don't know what's going to happen this evening or tomorrow. We think we know, we think what we're going to do and everything, but we never know. But I know one thing. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And when I get to the end of this journey, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a promise, folks, to you who believe. To you who put your trust in Christ, you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, that's a divine promise. Yes, God has a divine hatred for sin. He prepared a divine sacrifice for sin, his son. And we have the divine promises for those who trust him as our Lord and Savior. So as you take of the Lord's Supper today, as you take of the bread and you take of the cup, don't just go through emotion. Stop and remember what it really means. What it really means to you to drink of this cup and take of the bread. If you're here this morning, and you're lost, you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the invitation to you is, would you come? Come by faith. The choice is yours. I'm not going to try to make you. I'm not going to try to talk you down the aisle or anything like that. God give you a choice. You can choose him today or you can reject him. If you reject him, you're saying no to the gift of God, no to his Son, no to the Holy Spirit. That's the only unpardonable sin. All the rest of them can be forgiven, but when you say no to the Holy Spirit and reject his Son and you die, you're lost forever. There's no second chance, no third chance. No, I hope I'm going. You're not going. You're lost forever. That's what the Bible says. But if you choose to accept him this morning, you can have eternal life. That's simple, isn't it? Would you come this morning if you're lost? Would you come and receive him as your Lord and Savior? He is Lord. You don't have to make him Lord. He is Lord. Whether you choose to believe him or not, he is Lord. And if you have accepted him, and you've been sitting here thinking about the sin in your life and what you've done this week, the Bible says you just need to come and get it right at the altar before you take of the Lord's Supper. And let me say one other thing. Sometimes people say, can anybody take of this supper, preacher? Well, if you're not saved, you're not supposed to take of it. That's just simple. If you're not a believer, then you can't really say he's done anything for you with taking it. You can't remember that, for you haven't accepted his gift yet. If you're saved and you have sin in your heart and sin in your life, don't take it unless you come and get your life right, for that's dangerous to you. Those who take it are those who have confessed their sin and realize their heart is clean before God. And they remember and work for him till he comes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for those here this morning that may be deciding right now, should I come to Christ? And Lord, the answer is yes, they should. Will they? I don't know. But I pray that they will. Simply step out by faith and say, I'm coming to Christ this morning. I'll be glad to meet you at the front and share with you. Won't embarrass you in any way. For those who are saved and are already children of Christ, they've got sin in their life, they need to confess it. Lord, I pray that they will confess it right now, at this very moment, just in their quietness and stillness of the heart. Say, Lord, I've done wrong this week, last week, whenever. Lord, I want to confess it, that I might be right. Lord, I turn from that. Lord, I thank you for the promises that you give us. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.